Our Epiphany, Lord, is shining brightly in His Word and Sacrament to this day. May He shine on us all and through us. Shine and reflect that light throughout the world. We're meditating on that second reading, Acts chapter 13, verses 46 to 49. Then Paul and Barnabas responded fearlessly. It was necessary that God's word be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and consider yourselves unworthy of eternal life, look, we are now turning to the Gentiles. This is what the Lord instructed us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were rejoicing and praising the word of the Lord. All who had been appointed for eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being carried through the whole region. We pray. Comfort those who weep and mourn. Let the joy of hope return. Those who are cast down, lift up. Make them strong in faith and hope. Amen. My dear fellow Christians, most of you citizens of Minnesota, you ever feel like it's too sunny around here? Flying back from the sand and dust and rocks of the great Southwest one time, my better half looked down on this beautiful state from the airplane and says, "Finally, some clouds." "What?" "Yeah, Arizona. It's sunny all the time." "You're kidding, right?" For a minute, I thought she was crazy. That happens every once in a while. But then I think a little further. What if you grew up in a different climate completely, let's say on a seacoast where it rained 8 days out of 10? And one time in your childhood, there was a beautiful sunny day when it wasn't raining and it was warm enough and no school and you got to go to the park and play. You think you'd remember that the rest of your life? Maybe not so crazy. There's something about the same thing all the time over and over again that pretty soon all the sunny days blend into the sunny days and the rain into the rain, and we humans need contrast. It's just the way we are. And part of our challenge on Epiphany Sunday, even as non-Jew Gentiles, is that this has been going on so long that it's like the sun shining all the time and you just don't realize what an awesome miracle it is that God loves you and you know it. Said that to a neighbor of mine picking up the mail yesterday. This is what Christmas is for. Jesus did not have to leave His home of light and come to this sin-cursed earth, but He did. But we wouldn't know it without Epiphany. It would still be dark in the world around us and dark in our souls. But this light shines. It has shone into our hearts and it's shining again today, and the Lord wants to impress this on our minds that He who shined the light of the world into this world, first for the Jews, wants us likewise to do the same to the end of the earth, wherever that is, right? Contrast. We need some individuals to tell us about how awesome Epiphany really is. And those other two readings are great for this. In fact, we have three, one in each. But honestly, if the Queen of Sheba could come to America today, don't you think she'd be ticked off at Hollywood? What? My trip to Jerusalem to see Solomon is a soap opera for you guys? It's another one of your stupid romantic movies? This is what they do. He's always got to have something. No, it was a business trip. You could just hear her saying that in her queenly voice. It's a business trip. I needed to get to the markets. Not just Egypt. I can get there. But north to Anatolia, what's Turkey today, and over into Greece and Rome and to Persia. It all has to go through Megiddo. If you traveled in Israel, you probably stopped at Megiddo. Layers and layers of destruction conquered, what did they say, 12 or 15 times before 1000 BC. Because that was the pass through the mountains that controlled north-south traffic through that little strip of land called the Holy Land between the Mediterranean and the Arabian. And if you wanted to get to the market, you had to go through Solomon. And she had a lot of questions because he was one wise king, and you heard that read before. All her questions answered, so impressed, so ready to worship the Lord. Because in contrast of all the foolishness of the world around and the darkness in her own heart, here is light. And it was shining right there in Jerusalem at that time. And she was impressed. Enough to praise the Lord and thank God for making Solomon the king. You think she thought Epiphany was pretty wonderful? Some of you like the music of Lori Line. There's one that, this is so imaginative, and I hope you've heard it, so that you can just imagine the music coming across from a distance. And it's the Magi. They're not singing, but I would like to hear them singing, We Three Kings of Orient Are. But they're just singing all along. And then they pass, and the music fades. It was in her concerts, her Christmas concerts that she used to give. Why did they come? Where did they come from? Why did they get there? There's a lot of questions about why. But Magi were wise men, and it's a pretty good guess that they probably came from parts of Babylon, which are Iraq and Iran now. But Daniel and the wise men. Daniel was not one to stop praying just because the king told him he'd die otherwise. You know, Daniel in the lion's den. And his buddies Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't going to bow down to a statue just to save themselves from a fiery furnace. You know, that's maybe where the Magi heard. We don't know. But they came with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we think maybe there were three, but there could have been more. They just didn't come to the manger. We know that because they were in a house by this time. And they come and they worship the king. Here's what I wonder about, as you heard that from Matthew chapter 2. So they get to Jerusalem, right? Yeah. And they have to go to the scholars in the Old Testament scriptures to figure out where the Messiah was going to be born, right? So they get to, I think it's Micah 5:2. It's you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, you know, small among. That's the place, Bethlehem. Okay? Herod says he wants to go and worship Jesus. Nobody else? I mean, Herod was a brutal king. They knew he was paranoid. He would murder family members to keep his power. So there was a reason why the city was disturbed to hear there's a king of the Jews. But nobody else went. And the star reappeared and came and stopped over the house where Jesus was. Now it's really close. Boy, the Greek there just reads overwhelming joy. We just can't quite catch it in the English. They're just bursting with joy because this was their Savior. And they're not Jews. They had to come from far. And against all reason, this little baby in poverty, they worship him as Christ the Lord. And the gifts that they gave probably financed the flight to Egypt when they had to escape Herod's sword on all the baby boys of Bethlehem as the story continues. You think they would love Epiphany? Tell you it's pretty important. We got to have the contrast. Otherwise, camouflage works. If every day of your life is awesome and wonderful, you just think that's normal. If this body just keeps functioning in full health and there's never anything that goes wrong, you just think that's normal. Boy, when something happens, even a toothache or a stubbed toe, something tiny, that really hurts. One dentist told me that there were people who had a toothache and thought they were going to have a heart attack because somehow that little tooth is connected to the heart problems too, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. That's when you find out by contrast. Was there ever a greater contrast than Saul of Tarsus and Paul the Apostle? Same guy. Different heart. Talked about that in Bible class today about how Saul was such a flaming persecutor of Christians, violent man by his own description. He'll talk about this in great detail in his letters. God must have a sense of humor to pick the most unlikely person in the whole world that hates Jesus more than anybody else. So much that he gets letters. He's going to foreign cities to arrest Christians, men and women, drag them back to Jerusalem, have them executed. This is a terrible, terrible man. And he is so sure in his religiosity that he's right and righteous and all. Jesus is an imposter. His followers are crazy nutcases. They all got to die. This is Saul. Until on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him and proves that he did actually rise from the dead after he died on the cross and is the Messiah. And the scales finally fall off the eyes of Saul of Tarsus about the time the Lord tells him, "You are my missionary to the Gentiles. You will take salvation to the ends of the earth." And Saul of Tarsus was so impressed that he did not just get crushed and destroyed by the Almighty God. The rest of his life, he's praising God's grace and sharing God's peace in letters like 1 Corinthians and others. The more difficult the assignment, like lots of opposition in Corinth, the more likely the Apostle Paul is to stay and buckle down and pray and work. That's grace. And that's contrast. It had to go first to the Jews. So that's their modus operandi, their MO. When they get to the city of Pisidian Antioch, first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. First Sabbath is great. Everybody's excited. Invite them back. Second time doesn't go so well. There's a lot of rejection when they keep talking about Jesus as the Messiah, the crucified and risen Christ. And that's where that comes up, that Paul and Barnabas have to respond fearlessly. "You Jews, we had to come to you first." That's what they did. Find the synagogue if there was one. Talk to the Jews. It's a simple message. You've been hearing Moses and the prophets all these years. Look at the life and ministry of Jesus. Look how they fit together. It's proof. Why that rejection? Have you ever seen that in the eyes of a Jewish friend? Have you had any? At a home show in St. Paul, there was an old guy that looked like Santa Claus, great big beard. No secret, he told me he was Jewish. Liked to go out to lunch. Told me if I ever wanted to ruin our friendship, just keep talking about Jesus. I laughed. I said, "You want me to stop breathing?" So then I started telling him stories indirectly by telling him what I told my kids. I don't know what eventually happened. I pray that finally Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah made sense to him because he had no clue what they meant from the Old Testament. There is a dear couple in Tiberias, resort town on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Had dinner with them multiple times in 2014 when Cindy and I got to travel there. And so friendly, she was helping me with Hebrew and questions like that that I had, and it was just delightful. Until my wife Cindy said we were excited to go to Bethlehem to see where Jesus was born. And her face just clouded over, this woman's face. And after that, things went downhill quickly. I had not seen that in somebody's eyes before. Sad. And so is my stupid unbelief. And the times when I doubt my God's kindness and mercy. This is why I pray, Lord, deliver me from vanity and lies, especially the lies I tell myself. You realize how bad that can be, the lies we tell ourselves? Sometimes it's like Saul, as the self-righteous Pharisee, lying to himself about how righteous he was before God because he was so good. So pastors and volunteers and hardworking Christians, you can get into that and you don't even realize it. But it goes the other way too. You can tell yourself lies about how sinful you are. Wait, pastor, did you just say that? Yeah. Okay, it's true. Under the law, we all deserve to be destroyed. But the gospel is a better word and has the last word. And when we get lying to ourselves that somehow our sin cannot be forgiven because it's so bad, something keeps coming back to your mind and troubling you, that's a lie. The blood of Jesus, this is what God says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jews and Gentiles. The epiphany's true. Judas didn't believe that and despaired. But despair on the one hand and arrogance on the other, both wrong. And that's vanity and lies. And right there at the cross of Christ, sometimes it's better to just trace it on yourself. That's mercy. And you know it best when you have those times when maybe your conscience troubles you, or you don't have all the answers and you just have to go to God and say, I don't know what to do here. If every Christmas was awesome and wonderful, you'd think that that was normal too, right? So for us, this was a Christmas of contrast. Thanks to having Pastor Gavrish here, we get to visit family every other year. We trade off with Christmas. So we were in New England. Looking forward to, after a week with the grandchildren, with the other daughter up in New Hampshire, looking forward to being back with everybody for Christmas. So far, I'll save you the details. But long and short is that while Cindy and I were at Sarah's house, she fainted, collapsed on the floor. I heard her crumble in the dining room and went in there, and she was unresponsive for several minutes. And I'm flashing back to my brother's stroke a few weeks ago and strokes among congregation members, and you know, your mind just runs crazy while you're trying to keep it together. Call 911 to an address that you're not sure of. They can read it on your phone, I guess, and I was thankful for that. But she revived. But then the children convinced us she needed to go to the hospital. Told stories about family members that fainted and died. So, yeah, you got to listen to your kids. The ER said she had COVID. So now we're in isolation. Then the doctor's afraid maybe the fainting was somehow with the heart. I share these details with you because what do we do at times like that if the Lord's not there? Every time I fly, I'm looking at all the people's faces and I'm thinking, how many of you know the Lord Jesus? How many of you sitting next to me will stick the AirPods in your ears again so that we can't even talk anymore? They don't want to talk to you. They wanted to keep us several days, keep her there several days until they could do a test. There was only one guy in the hospital. That was Christmas Eve when she was in the ER, and then they, well, overnight. But that, come on, 5 days, and you still don't know if she can just get an echo? Really? We took her home. Same time Cindy got COVID, her mom got COVID in Milwaukee. At 96 years old, going on 97. And then pneumonia. You know where this is going. Getting on the plane to fly home from Boston. Tall, red-headed flight attendant just asked Cindy, how's your day going? Cindy's honest as the tears start to come. My mother is actively dying, and I want to get to her. All the rest of that trip, that flight attendant was writing cards and notes, giving extra snacks, even from first class. Gave extra snacks to me, too. We were really hungry. And not just her, but other ones along the way. You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it's through God's people, whether they are Christians themselves or had a kind-hearted grandmother or something, I don't know. But the light of Christ shines in our world so brightly compared to the pagan times of the real Vikings, not the pigskin Vikings, but the real Vikings. What has happened in our culture is so different now. And some historians are aware of that, even non-believing historians. And you find these people along the way that God puts right there. Who do you know that needs to know Jesus? Who do you know that eventually will go through the valley of the shadow of death, maybe sooner rather than later? Thanks to the kindness of one of our members, Cindy was able to, you know, sleep one night at home and then get on the plane yesterday morning, get to Milwaukee, spend a few hours with her mom listening to hymns and Psalm 23, and the angels came. Her mom went home. What a gift. What a gift. That God would keep her here long enough. Cindy was at peace. She spent, you know, those 5 years taking care of her mom, but Epiphany needs to shine, and where is the end of the earth? Here. They knew the earth was round. Don't kid yourself. But every corner of the earth is where that light needs to shine, and some dark place where maybe the most obnoxious, awful person that you know at work or in school needs to hear the gospel of the Lord. It may be a roommate, and you'll try as long as you can. And sometimes our collegiates have roommates that are into Satanism. There's also a time that Jesus said to his disciples, brush the dust off your feet and move on. But the day will come and the last trumpet will sound, and they will have one less excuse. Because some kind-hearted Christian was there and did the best they could to try. There's a lot of darkness in the world out there, and people are complaining about it. But you, my dear Christian friends, have Christ shining on you in his mercy, that all sins are forgiven, all guilt is gone, heaven is wide open, it's waiting for you, the arms of Jesus. And you know this, and you keep coming to hear it again. Now take these nuggets and shine this light at every opportunity. And Christ, come quickly.